beginning current daven set this air in the tzadi test. We begin on the alf. Beginning towards the master. Begins with the gemara. Whose sabr he holds. He held the sefer and meir b'chulav. In fact, the sefer and meir etc. So too with the reisha meaning our mishnah b'ir and meir. Which just explains what is the sefer that the gemara says. That's because we had the halacha in the mishnah. The person is allowed to be in one domain and manipulate things in another domain. Whereas in the gemara, v'chinu b'shlemya, he taught it. No, that you're not allowed to. So he says, what do you mean? You're leaving your rabbanu hold. We're not concerned that you're doing like your meir. So that says the gemara because yes, he thought that from the fact that the sefer is like your meir, so the reish is like your meir. So what does it mean that the sefer is like your meir? So Rashi says is referring to a mishnah later on, which we see a meir holds that that's concerning. As Taisa says, pish b'kontras Rashi explains, what's the sefer that we see? Reb Meir says this halacha. Tzahita lo yiftach. It's the mishnah regarding that a person is not allowed to open up a store with a key in the street when he's standing in a different domain. Dar bar Meir, which Reb Meir is saying that halacha. So you see, he's concerned for bringing it into the domain where you are, and therefore we thought that this early mishnah, our mishnah over here, is also like a meir. It says Taisa because it's a little bit difficult. That mishnah is very far away to call that the sefer of our mishnah. Usually, if it's the next Mishnah right over, that's the next idea. But it's difficult to say that it's a Mishnah so much later. That is what we call the Seifa. So rather, Benir Lari, it seems to read the Seifa. What does it mean, the Seifa? It's literally the Seifa of our Reisha regarding a person moving from one domain to another domain. It's the Loyash to Milyark, right after this Halacha in our own Mishnah, the actual Seifa. When it says you can't manipulate another domain, it says, and also you cannot urinate or spit into another domain, which the polygamy of Yehuda, which that's the agreement of Yehuda, who Yehuda is even more stringent, where he says, forget about that, you can't walk in the street with the detached spit. Dalet Amos. Now, that means this time a Kama is disagreeing with the Yehuda. Now, the Stamba plugged Yehuda, Reb Meir. And generally, when the general dispute of Reb Yehuda is Reb Meir, so it comes out that this, so to speak, Sefer of Aresha, which right before Reb Yehuda, of not spitting and not urinating into another domain, is Reb Meir. Oh, so Rav Chanina said, so the Reisha is also, when it says in manipulating another domain, was also giving like a mayor, and therefore the Girsa has to be that you cannot manipulate. However, Miyu Kashmute says that this is also difficult. Tim Kane, if that's the case, that this halacha of not spitting and not urinating is Reb Meir, have a little mitzvah and a gemara, then the gemara should have asked Reb Meir, Reb Meir, a contradiction, Reb Meir, Lamai de Gesinberg, so according to what the text is in most gemaras, that Reb Meir mitame, that Reb Meir holds his tame, and Bechain Gars Rabin Chananel, so too is that the Giz Rabin Chananel. In other words, the gemara asks on the Mishnah that we see Reb Yehuda holds that once the spit gets detached, so it's like it's already ready to be expelled. And the fact that he says he can't walk Dalet Amos, even though it wasn't turned around yet in one's mouth, it's already considered as a load that one is carrying. The problem is, the Gemara wrote a Mishnah Masechet Kelim regarding someone who's eating dried figs with tummy hands, and Reb Meir holds its tummy because the spit goes and makes the dvela susceptible to tumma. Basically says it's tar because it's not. And Yehuda says, oh, it depends. If you turned it around, then yes. If you didn't turn around, then not. That's difficult. Reb Yehuda and our Mishnah, which sounds like even if you were not ma'apachet, it's already considered as talish. Now, that's his Taisis. But now that the Gemara is saying that the way we just explained in Taisis, that the halacha, the mishnah of not urinating, not spitting is Reb Meir, so the Gemara should have asked the contradiction of Reb Meir because over there, but the Devel Meir holds is going to be tamei, and that's because he holds it's a spittle. It's considered as detached from his mouth. Whereas over here, that we say that you're not allowed to spit it outside, but that means to say in this mouth itself, it's not considered detached. And only Behuda is the one who holds that it's considered as talish when you mahapachit. So, but that contradicts what we're saying in our mishnah, that Reb Meir holds that it is a masa. And that's the Taisa Lamai Damasik. Now, according to what the Gemara concludes, the Mechlefer Sashita, where he says you have to switch it around because of Rehuda, but based on that we're switching around Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, where Reb Meir that is saying that it's actually going to be tar and it's not like detached. Well, that's actually going to be like we're saying here in the Mishnah, that there's no problem about going with the spit in your mouth because it's not considered as detached. And Reb Yehuda is also switched around. So, Namanicha, the Leitik Shreb Meir, Reb Meir. So, that would also resolve that it's not a difficult Reb Meir, Reb Meir. But according to the Gemara, it's Havmin, the Haigin resolved that. And that's his Taisis, Vashem, Mishim Hachi, and Nich Malahakshit, Reb Meir, Reb Meir. Why didn't the Gemara just like it asks the contradiction of Yehuda, ask on Rebbe Meir. Because there are those who switch around the Girsa and switch around the text of Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yesi, where their Girsa is that it's actually Rebbe Meir holds his tar. But now you don't have the difficulty of Rebbe Meir, because also by the dried fig, he holds that it's not like it's detached, and therefore it's not metameid, and therefore that would be exactly like we're saying here in the Mishnah, the Seifa, what we're calling it, that you're not allowed to urine, you're not allowed to spit, that's Rebbe Meir, and you wouldn't have to be a contradiction, therefore the Gemara doesn't ask it Rebbe Meir, like it asked Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda. So next says the Masnah begins with Gemara Zark v'Nachbir Shus Rabim b'Fikel v'Chul. If someone throws and lands in Shus Rabim in the mouth of a dog, etc., she tries to qualify this the wording of if the gear says v'Nach, and if it's possible to explain that v'Nach is with intent that it shall land specifically over there. Mishnah said, person should not be in one domain and manipulate in another domain. Now the Gemara says, let's say one spit into another domain or he urinates, the Rebbe says he's going to be chad. The Gemara says you have to have a kira and a nacha from a place that's 4x4, which is not the case. So the Gemara says, no, the person machshava makes it into a malkum. And the Gemara brings a riot to this, because the halacha of Rava says that if one is throwing in a nach in the mouth of a dog or in the pia of a kishan, if it's not malkum haba, rather because that's his intent, so that makes it like as if it's a chashva malkum. Now, Eimer the Rebbe says, the leger sin of a nach. The text should not say anet benach, because the benach mashma delegis kamlekach. The word benach sounds like that it just landed, and that it wasn't intended. Can Moch Perakam the Shabbos? Because obviously the Gemara Shabbos of him and Alf. Behold, Amar Yechonon. Yechonon says Zar Chavetz. If someone throws an object, Vahalach Benach, and it goes and it lands, but Techiyud Shachaver in his friend's hand, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv. Oh, because Hach Arbi Miskam Lekach. As the Gemara says that's because he's intending it that it should land in the Rebichon, and is saying that's considered Hanacha. Even though the person's hand is not a dal tfachim, because he's not intending it to be in this friend's hand. But like we're saying, hacha ayirbe miskam lekach, here we're talking about where you're intending it to land in the dog's mouth. That's the whole point of the Gemara. So obviously you shouldn't say v'nach. Now, however, says Taisis, and again, that's why Yechon used the word v'nach, because that was his whole chiddush over there to say that you didn't intend. But Amir Rach guards v'nach, but Rabbein Chanal did have the text v'nach. And the reason is because the Muslim and the benach mash mashab miskam. No, you could translate benach means even when it was tended to be, because the stam zarak, generally when a person throws something, it lands where he intended it to be. Aval halach benach mashmat. That Gemara in Rabbi Yechon and Masechta Shabbos, it didn't just say benach; it said it went and it landed. That means shahalach b'lekavon zad. That means it went without a person's intent. Another part you could say is the Perikam the Shabbos, and the first Perik of Shabbos, mitur the memredaik. The inference is not from the word v'nach. It's from the superfluous teaching, the ayibulay miskaven, coming to tell us why did he say it again, to tell you that even if it was not intended, but it's not the word v'nach. So, in one approach on Taisis, he says, v'nach always sounds like that it landed by itself, without intent. So therefore, the girsa should not be over here in Rava, with the whole purpose is that your intent is makes it a makam chashim, you shouldn't have the girsa v'nach. Second approach today says, like Rabbeinu Chananel, who is Garis V'nach, know that you could say that V'nach could even be where you're intending it to be. But there is V'halach V'nach. That sounds like that it was not intended. Or third approach on Taisis is that, no, it doesn't make a difference of V'nach or V'halach V'nach, but rather the Gemara in Shabbos is not being medayked from the words of V'nach or V'halach V'nach, rather from the superfluous teaching of Rabbi Yechonon that tells us why he's saying it again. Obviously, even if it was not intended, still he's going to be chayav when it lands in his friend's hands. Tinnitus Masla begins with Zigmar Machshavti Meshavli Makim. His kavana, his thought, is what makes it into a designated place. So it explains, how do we say this halacha, which we're saying in the Gemara, and the teaching of Rava, that if you throw into a designated place, even though it's not a makam chashav, it makes into chashav makam. So it says, Dafka b'chi ha'gavna, specifically in such a case, denenna b'yisim makam t'vim makam ach. It's only if you desire it, it's better off you that it lands in that place where you're trying to get it more than another place. Like the case that Agama was discussing, like it says in the mouth of a dog, where you want it specifically with the sheikh lend, you want the dog to eat it. And when it says it goes into the mouth of the oven, because of the starvation, we want to be burnt over there. So there's some effectiveness of it specifically over there. So to the case that we're discussing over here in the Gemara, from the Mishnah, if you're urinating or you're spitting, we want specifically to land in a certain place. That's where you say machshavtim shavli mak. Abazark ala maklis ayal shem dava. But if you're throwing something on some sticks or some other thing, which is not specific, even if you're intending it to go over there, lo emer machshavtim shavli makim, they didn't say over there that your thought is going to make it into makom chashim, and it won't have that halacha. Ketin next is the master begins with zikmar hayochel devel biyedem asabes. If someone's eating dried figs with tummy hands, Taisa explains what these dried figs are they truma chulin, and also this halacha of the spit, how is it being metame the figs? Because our Gemara quoted the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, as our Tosfos quotes, eating dried figs with tummy hands, which were not prepared yet for tuma, but and therefore the hand should not make a tummy. But if when you're eating, you stick your hands into your mouth and you touch it, then your mayor says it's going to be tummy. And Yehuda says that depends. Only if you turned around the saliva, then it's going to become tummy. Now, Pishbukon, Rashi explains, the case is tuma devel shal truma. We're talking about dried figs of truma. And that's where tuma could become tummy from a person's stam yudaim. Briya Midri says, dafel b'shal chul nicha. That no, you could even explain the case, even if we're talking about dried figs of chul. Because this refers to yudaim ha paisles truma, that we say in the Mishnah, that hands could invalidate truma, which that's obvious. And mitaminas arik. Now, those types of hands that could make truma puzzle, not chulin, that's how we explain by chulin, because those tummy hands that are shnias, they make the spit tummy, because it's a liquid, which is liquid, which becomes a rishain. And then, that spit goes and could, now that it's a rishain, goes and contaminates the dried figs, even though it's not truma. And the spit also makes the dried figs susceptible for tuma because it's in contact with the spit. Which that makes the chulin tame. The poisonous segvir, which, what's the significance of chulin becoming tame, is that it invalidates the person. And if someone eats chulin that's tame, his body becomes invalid, becomes a puzzle from eating truma. And what Tais has to address right now is that how is it becoming tummy from the saliva, but doesn't this liquid have to be a revius? Says Tosis, no, the mashkin kosher metamin, because liquids, even the minute amount, is going to contaminate the dvela. Can mean brachas pelagidvam. The Gemara says in brachas davnam bezim enalz. Shema yatsu mayim achera akos. We talk about the opinion with the Bisham. We're concerned that maybe the water is going to come out from behind the cup. The yavs to be tummy sedam is going to go ahead and contaminate the hands. Now, b'stamad achera akos like revius, we can presume that what's behind the cup, that what you touch with your wet hands, doesn't have a revius, because the b'chol netilas like el revius, because your whole netila was only with revius. I'm sure it's not going to be a revius of water over there to contaminate. Obviously, you don't need a revius. So to perikam the b'sachem namash, when the Gemara in the first perikam b'sachem namash, the Gemara also sounds like shabbosim b'tamim machmas hamashkin sha'olav, where Toba is that the meat becomes tummy from the liquid that's on it, from the water. Now, if stomach like a boy revius, we can presume that it doesn't have a revius of water on it, and still the liquid is going to contaminate the bus, even though it's not a revius. Now, but what Tosfos finds difficult is, but v'hadikam v'kamaduchim with this, we find in many places l'tamei tumas mashkin revius, that the Gemara says, oh, and to make the thing tamei with the tumah of liquids in revius, as we find gabi yai nesach, and the benazir, we find l'machesim beis gabi es revius, we're talking about the 10 types of revius, and one of them is tumas mashkin, which the Gemara always quotes as revius. So it's Tosfos hainim lifts l'asagvia. That's specifically a tumah of liquids to contaminate a person's body, which is a special tumah that the person's body becomes tummy when it comes in contact with something of tumah. So that liquid has to be revius. And ketnamimei like in Mishnah Me'ilah daf yitzayin beis kolamashkin, we say all liquids in the starf and they all combine lifts l'asagvia revius to contaminate those liquids, contaminate the body with a revius. But to become tummy and to contaminate other food items, the liquids could be even minute amount to become tummy and to contaminate other things. And therefore, the spit is also considered a liquid to contract, to become tummy, just like it's considered a liquid to make the dried fig susceptible to tummy, because it's a liquid. Now we can understand the Gemara Chagiga of Chavim Abbas, which the Gemara there brings that a woman that's tahar, even if she's doing in the state of tahara, but if she, or any person, if they're not paying attention to safeguarding the state of tahara, even if you don't know any tumah habit of it, we have to be stringent as if it's tummy. Which is regarding over there a story that the Gemara brings, a woman that came from the Rishmal, and she said, I wove this garment in the state of purity, but I just didn't watch it. Now, what ended up happening is, from the questions he asked her, she said, oh, nima nifskili, there was a thread that got detached when I was weaving, and I tied it with my mouth. Ah, Bishmol says, ah, now we understand why the Chacham said, if the person did not have a mind to watch, it's going to become tummy. Because, you see, she wasn't careful with her spit when she was tying that thread with her mouth. Says, Taisin, alafima shaparashti nicha, based on what I'm explaining, it makes sense. Afilu b'rik shel tar. Even if that spit was from a woman that wasn't a nida, and actually, the other story that the Gemara brings says, and I wasn't either. Here it doesn't say that, even though she was tar. Still, it's going to be a problem, like we're saying, even that of a tahar person. He also explains, it says that a thread got detached and I tied it with my mouth, and at a time when I was weaving a measurement of kedel kabatuma, enough of a cloth that could be kabatuma, there was still some moist spittle on it, that could become tummy from her hands, because like we said, the hands are shnias, but then the spittle, which it was from a tahor person, could become tummy from her hands, and then that went and made the cloth tummy. Like this is like we just explained, that liquids could contaminate even by the menorah amount. And therefore, and not like the Rebbe Tam explains the Iberichal Nida, that it had to be told, oh, how is the spit a problem? Because she was a Nida, which the spit of a Nida is metamic mejapesh shambukuntris. Because he didn't understand to explain it, how could it be the spit of a Torah person? Because he didn't understand that, and the gear says reik as a spit, as a mashkit in kabbal tumah, but says taste is the chashav shabba mashkit in breaches, but it is considered liquid, like we explained, and therefore you can explain it even talking about that the woman was tahar, her spit, but it's because of that. The hands, which are shnis, that touched it, that made that intoleration, which then made the garment into a shenis. So, taste explain. Now, so we're talking about dried fig that became tummy for her mouth with her hands that touched it. According to Rashi, we're talking about dvela b'truma. According to Taisis, no, even if the dvela is chulin, but it received tumma from the spit, which has a halacha like mashkin, and therefore could contaminate the dried fig, and the person who eats it then becomes tummy from eating truma. According to Taisis and Rebbe Biyamtiv, that liquids could become tummy and be metame less than revias, and this that we find always that mashkin and revias, that's regarding metame a person's body from eating truma. According to Rashi, Ben Etam, no liquids only mitame if it's a revius. So next says the last to begin with Gemara, Meir mitame. Meir says it's tummy. Traces brings what's the appropriate gear in the words of Remeir, which the Gemara had a difficulty, a contradiction in Rebbe Yehuda. And in that conversation, it brought the three different opinions in regards to what the halachic status is of the dried figs in the mouth. But says this, it's from the Gersh Remeir mitar. There are some texts that have the Gersh Remeir says it's tar. Now, the significance of this is regarding a previous tesis, regarding that tesis I pointed out that the Gemara should have asked not only a contradiction on Rebbe Yehuda, but also on Rebbe Meir. And as a tesis, no, based on this girsa of Rebbe Meir Matar, there's no difficulty because, yeah, here in our Mishnah, Rebbe Meir holds that the spit is not considered significant until it comes out of his mouth. And also over there, Rebbe Meir holds his tahar as long as it didn't go out of the mouth, and therefore it makes sense why the Gemara is only asking on Rebbe Yehuda and not under Meir, whereas if it's the gears like we have, Remeir Mitame, that Taisa had previously pointed out, the Gemara should have asked Remeir in our Mishnah, that he does not, as we're saying, he's the Tandikama of our Mishnah, that does not consider the spit as detached until it leaves his mouth, and unlike, and therefore you could carry it in your mouth, in contrast, as we're seeing over here, Remeir says that it is Tame, obviously it's considered detached, even before it leaves his mouth. So the next Taisa, the Master begins with the Gemara Bechem Begasotu in the wine press, which, what's this going on? Says Taisa's Inyan Meister, as the Gemara explains, is regarding that of the typhing. What does that mean, Pirish? How does it relate to what our Mishnah is discussing? Meaning, Tzarech Shiachnas, Reish Berubah Lagaz, a person has to have his head and the majority of his body on the wine press, and then, like they came, more delicious, Bechal Inyan, and then, in all situations, he could drink it, whether it was diluted with hot or cold. Behind the Kermeyan, that's what we're saying, that would be like a mayor, that he permits to drink it as long as it's Bederech Arai over the wine press. And what's the over the wine press? Like we said in Halacha Mishnah, Reish Berubah. That's also here would be the halacha of Rashi Verubai.